discussion, or rather I should say a conversation, between Mrs. E.B. Friedberg and Miss Bess Topolsky concerning the experiences of Miss Topolsky prior to her coming to America and shortly after her settling here. Today is Tuesday, July 23, 1968, and we are assisted by Aaron L. Friedberg. In order to keep our talk within a certain framework, we will use a series of questions that were prepared by the committee for this purpose. And of course, Ms. Topolsky, and I shall call you Bess, if you feel like expanding at any point, do so, because we're interested in everything you have to say. Just for the record, would you mind telling us the date of your birth?
December the 16th, 1905.
Well, I won't take the time to do the arithmetic now.
Well, you can be exact. It's 1967, but
yes,
62 years.
62 years. And what year did you come to the United States?
In 1914. Arrived in Pittsburgh July 1st, 1914.
That was just before the outbreak of the First World War.
The war broke out on August 14th.
Did you have some premonitions of war?
No, we came here for a visit. We came, my mother and my sister arrived in July to visit my father's parents. My father and brother were already here.
Oh.
They arrived...
How much earlier had they come?
About 6 months. They came in November of 1913, mm-hmm. because my brother had his bar mitzvah here in the United States. They brought the son to his grandfather.
Low.
How old were you when you arrived? Not quite 8 years. Not the age. Now, let's talk a little bit about Europe. You were old enough to remember
quite well.
Where did you live?
In Skvira.
That's an odd name. Spell it for us, please.
I would spell it S-K-E-V-E-R-A, Skvira.
S-K-E-V-E-R-A. And that was
That's in Ukrainian. That's
in Ukraine.
Kiva Gebelne.
Kiva.
Yeah, Kiva. Kiv.
Kiv. K-I-E-V.
Yeah.
Kiva Gebelne. Yeah, that's province.
Yes. Yeah.
The province of Kiev.
That's right.
And what would you call it? A town? A village?
A city.
A city?
Yes.
What was the population?
I don't recall the population, but we had a public school, we had a high school, we also had a university.
Oh, I think, yes, we'll call it a city. It might have been a small one, but,
it
we'll call it a city. Now, tell us about your family, your immediate family, those who lived right in your own household.
Going back in Europe?
Yes.
Well, there were my parents and my brother and my sister and myself.
Your parents,
I'm in the middle.
Your brother, sister,
and
yourself.
Yes.
Was that, were there just the two of you?
Just the three, three.
Oh, I see, yes. Just three children.
That's right.
What about your family name?
Well, the original name was Trepolsky. T-R-E-P-O-L-S-K-Y.
Trepolsky, but you lost the R.
We lost the R-E, and for what reason, I cannot tell you, but when we came to the United States, we found that my grandparents had changed the name to Topolsky.
Topolsky, I see.
And so that's the name we went.
Did you ever hear any conversation in your home about where they got that name?
No.
No. Had your grandparents also had that name?
Yes.
I see. Well, then I guess we'll take it for granted that was your name.
They had been in the United States, my grandparents, about 7 years prior to our arrival, three of the daughters had been in the States even before they came.
I see.
They must be here approximately 62 years.
I see. Well, Let's refresh your memory about that home in the old country. What kind of a house was it?
Well, I was brought up in a very Orthodox home because my father was connected with a rabbinical dynasty. He was, I'd say, the overseer of the estate.
Well, now, when you use the word dynasty, what do you mean?
Well,
now,
there
I've
was
heard
a
that
rabbi,
used
yes.
on with connection with Hasidim.
Yes, well,
well
that
were
was
you
a
Hasidim?
Yes.
Oh, Hasidish family.
A Hasidish rabbi
uh-huh.
by the name of Twersky.
Twersky?
Yes.
Yes.
And they owned the land on which we lived. It was built in the court form.
Mm-hmm.
The rabbi lived in his home. The synagogue was on the premises. Each son, and there were before at the time that I can remember, there were already four married sons. And they each had their own home
mm-hmm.
on the grounds.
On the same estate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four children living at home at the rabbi's.
Mm-hmm.
And this was quite a large. Well-to-do family that from whom my father worked.
Now, I've often heard people who talk about living in Poland and Lithuania who said that they were not allowed to own land. Was this not true in the Ukraine? The
well,
Jews
as far as
own?
I can remember, they owned the land. That was there was quite a huge fruit farm that was leased to a Gentile man
mm-hmm.
who ran the gardens. Our home was on the grounds,
mm-hmm.
and as far as I can remember, they owned the property.
And what was the source of revenue for a dynastic family like that? The rabbi.
The rabbi would, well, he'd have,
he'd have a salary?
No. I don't think there was, it wasn't a question of salary, I think. The people of course, there was income from the synagogue.
Yes.
And people came for advice and
they paid. I see.
There was income from the land.
Mm-hmm.
Fruits were sold at the end of the season. Other than that, and they also toured.
The community accepted it as a responsibility.
Yes, very
that
much
they have
so.
To maintain.
They maintained it. And with
the Rebbe's family.
Yeah, quite
mm-hmm.
well-to-do family.
And your father was a part of this
yes,
family group.
Yes, he was
I
the,
see.
He would,
mm-hmm.
well, I would say he's like a personnel manager. He would take care of all the bookkeeping and all of the personnel got paid
business,
under him.
Business.
Yes,
do you remember, was it a wooden house or a stone house?
It was stone.
Mm-hmm.
It was now, the synagogue itself, I can visualize the synagogue, but whether the structure was all, I think it was also of stone. It's quite
mm-hmm.
elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
They lived very well. They employed quite a lot of people. They dressed well.
Mm-hmm.
The children were educated well,
mm-hmm.
even though they were Hasidim.
Yes.
And
very pious.
Very pious. The children had tutors
mm-hmm.
and were taught.
You mean more than Hebrew?
Yes.
They were
yes.
educated
in
a wider
yes.
range.
Yes.
Well, this was after the turn of the century. I suppose that there was a difference there. Now, of course, you were. The question here has to do with work. You obviously, as
no.
a child, did not
but
do
it,
any
it
work.
Might, you know, people might find it interesting that while we were brought up in this Hasidic home,
yes.
in our particular own domain.
Yes.
There was a nucleus for the revolutionary movement.
I was going to come to that because I remember
sort of,
you. We've
yes.
talked about this before. This question arises, did you belong to or attend any organization? And obviously you were too young to have done so, but would your father have done so or would some other member of your family have
well,
done so?
The fact that our home was in the backwoods actually of this court. We lived, I'd say, about 200 yards from the street.
main road.
The main road. You would have to walk back. It was a place where revolutionary young men and women were able to hide.
Oh my.
And were able to escape.
Well, who was the first one in the family that took an interest in such thoughts?
While my father was away from home a lot, there was no objection from him that my mother associated with the people, where the teachers could come and meet at our home. And it was never a question for the police to come and search, because we were part of the rabbinical...
Yes, I see. In other words, was this what you'd call a socialist group or a Bundist group?
No, a socialist group.
Socialist group. And they used the word and were conscious of it?
Yes, they did.
Yes. Did it ever cross religious lines? Did you ever meet with non-Jewish?
Not that
socialists?
I can remember. No.
Was there any discussion there about labor unions?
Well, that I wouldn't remember.
No. And not in that particular
but there,
community.
Well, you might say that there was possibly some discussion, because not too far from our home, there was people were employed in the cigar business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was question there of organizing the employees there.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So that we were not too far away from from the issues.
You mentioned the fact that your mother tolerated the more revolutionary young friends who gathered around. Did she herself have any feelings that way, or was it just because she was kindly and well-disposed?
No, I think she had the feelings, because she was more progressive than my father. She had made it her business to see that my brother started into the public school, and while he objected to the fact that he would have to attend classes on Saturday, she had her way, and he attended classes.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it your brother who brought these people into the house?
No, they came. The mother evidently knew these people, and the people that were active in the movement knew that they could come and meet at our home
and enjoy the security.
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. Begins to explain you a little bit. Now, what languages were spoken in your home?
Mostly Yiddish.
Yiddish.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But when my brother started the public school, it's called the Uchilishche, he would bring the Russian novels home.
Oh, I see.
And I can remember that we would sit up quite late into the hours, and he would read for my mother and I the Tolstoy and Dostoevsky
novels. In Russian.
In Russian.
And you all understood.
Yes, we understood the language.
But did you speak it?
Not too fluently, because you don't start school until you're 9.
I see.
And at summers around 7, I had already had a tutor teaching me the language. Mm-hmm. Mother spoke it well.
Yes.
My brother spoke it well.
Were you friendly with any non-Jewish people in your community? I've sort of asked you that before, but I think it's rather interesting to know.
No, I can recall a few of my girlfriends that were all Jewish.
Uh-huh.
We lived in that area.
Yes.
Although there was approximately, as you would say here in the United States, across from the street, there was a church.
Yes.
And it was Sundays, we would see the people attend the services, but we had
no threshold.
No,
and the people who went there never came into your house.
Not
you didn't
that,
have
no.
any dealings.
No,
them. No. Now, what about the relationship to the of the government to the Jews? Were you conscious of any special relationship of your government to Jews?
Not that I can remember, and my father always talked about they being friendly to the people that he worked for.
Mm-hmm.
They never gave him any...
You never had any special pressures?
No,
no hardships?
I can remember as a child.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. For a minute, let's talk... do you remember what the synagogue was like? You said just a little while ago that you thought it was made of stone.
Yes, it was... well, not a modern... synagogue like we know here in the United States. Mm. It was a one-floor affair, with
the women sit behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Behind in the rear of the synagogue, partially halfway.
Yeah.
And we as children roamed around there. We had I can remember the Simchas Torah celebrations were quite unique because the men danced for all they were worth.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of life.
Yeah.
In their
Really loved it. Yeah. Yes. Was the Omid in the middle of the floor or just was it up front? You don't remember. I think they were probably in the middle.
I would think so too. They were there.
Yes.
Very Orthodox.
Do you remember, was your family, was your father a Levi or a Cohen?
Neither. I think it was just plain
Israel.
Throne.
Israel.
Yeah.
All right. Then you didn't have any special privileges for that reason. We ask, what kind of schooling did you have? Well, obviously, you were too young to have gone
That's
to
right. I had a tutor. School. I had a
tutor. What, in Hebrew?
In Hebrew. I had a great uncle of mine who came and gave me Hebrew lessons. And a student from the public school, when I was preparing me for entry into the public school, had we remained in Russia, I would have entered the school.
Did Palestine enter into your conversations or your families at any time?
No, we were aware that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our friends had emigrated to there.
Well, they did.
Yes,
they had. There was already.
Yes, emigration.
Yeah. Now, perhaps one of the first questions we ought to ask about your motivation for leaving Europe. Why did you leave the country?
Well, as I said, my father's parents were here in the United States. We had never seen our grandparents. My mm-hmm. brother was 13 when my father brought him here to the United States for his bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And mother was anxious to visit the United States. We had friends here. And while we were planning to go as a family group in 1913, mother had taken ill. And the doctors would not permit her to make the trip, so my father went along first. And we came in July with the understanding that we would be here for 6 months. While my father was here, he had written back that he did not like the United States and that he wanted to come back to Europe.
Mm.
And mother said that we would make the trip and we'd stay here 6 months and then we'd all go back. My mother's people were in Europe. Her father was not happy with her to make the trip here. His claim was that his children did not have to come to the United States to slave.
This is really an interesting reversal.
And so before we left Europe, my mother closed up the house. We went to stay with my grandfather, my mother's father. She toured the community where her sisters were living. All of her sisters were then married. She bid them all goodbye, and we left with the understanding that we would come back.
Mm-hmm.
But as the war broke out on August the 14th, we never went back.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever was left of the home was left.
I see. So you simply walked out and left?
Yes. Well, some of the things were stored.
Yeah.
Some of the things my mother sold because she didn't know whether she'd have the use for them.
Well, it's very interesting to me because it's obvious that you didn't feel the pressures that so many of our Jewish people, when they talk about having to leave the old country under a sense of persecution and oppression, you didn't have
to. No, we did not. We traveled first class.
Yeah. Well, in other words, you were rather well situated there.
And my father was very unhappy during that.
Was that because he couldn't be a religious Jew?
Maybe that's one of the reasons, but I think he liked the Hasidic life that he was missing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It gave him a kind of status over there that he couldn't have here.
Here he was
just an ordinary Jew.
Stogie maker that's a trade in which he could be, he was able to observe his
Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Yeah. Well, So you've already answered the question, he says here, why did you come to the United States when you came? You reversed the process of history. You came to see your grandparents.
Right.
It's generally the grandparents who come to see the children.
That's right.
Now, when you left your little town, your little city, you knew definitely where you were coming. Did you head for Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Where your family was?
Yes, this is where the family was. So we arrived in New York, stayed overnight at the Hyatt,
mm-hmm.
and came the following day to
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
Was it Hyatt who met you
yes.
at the boat?
Yes.
I see.
They wired on ahead, tell my father on what train we traveled on the B&O
mm-hmm.
from New York to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. I see. And when you came here, your name had already undergone change.
Yes.
With your grandparents,
right.
So you just took the version that he had.
That's right.
And that's what you have. Do you remember what impressed you first when you came to the United States?
Well, it seemed like I walked into an atmosphere that I was familiar with in Europe, because we arrived here on a Friday, and on Sunday, the Socialist Party had a picnic, and my aunts took me to the Socialist picnic.
In Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Well, the Socialist Party picnic in Pittsburgh was not necessarily Jewish.
No, it was a mixed group.
It was a mixed group. This was, you didn't spend any time in New York when you arrived
no,
here. You just came right along by train
just
to Pittsburgh.
One night.
And you came to Pittsburgh and you were invited to the Socialist Party picnic.
Yes.
Well, that's quite a baptism.
My inauguration.
Yeah. Now, where did you live first in Pittsburgh?
Well, we spent, till September, we lived with my grandparents.
Where?
And on Webster Avenue.
Webster Avenue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
all right. Now,
In September, when we started, when the school semester started, we moved to Miller Street.
Miller Street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I went
and
to
which
Miller
school did you go to?
The Miller School.
Uh-huh. And other members of your family, did they also go to school? Your brother?
Yeah, my brother graduated Miller School, and I did.
Uh-huh.
My sister graduated from Morehead.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Well, how long did you stay there in that location?
We stayed in that location until we moved to East, well, not particularly on Miller Street. We moved from Miller Street to Wick Street, but this is still the same
mm-hmm.
area. We must have moved in 1928. No. We moved in 1931 to East Liberty.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you stayed on the hill until 1931, from 1914.
Yes.
14 to 24. It's about 17 years.
Something like that.
Yes, on the hill. Now, let's talk a little bit about ideas. When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person? After all, you were just a child. You didn't
I was a child. I would think our home was very Orthodox.
In what ways were you religious? Your home was Orthodox.
We were Orthodox. I went to, I did not go to any religious school.
No.
I was signed up to go to a Yiddish classes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a school there.
Like a Volksschule.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a school at the Iron Kaufman Settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Saturday and Sunday classes. That's
mm-hmm.
where I got my Jewish education.
Is that so? Mm-hmm. This supplemented your public school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you, the question said, did you call upon God when life was hard? I'm sure you heard that kind of talk among your parents.
Well, my father would, my mother, I would go to services every Saturday. They did not insist that we attend the
mm-hmm.
services.
Mm-hmm.
And they made no objections when we became active in the workman's circle
mm-hmm.
or in the socialist movement.
Mm-hmm. Did they feel at home with those
yes,
people?
They did, yes. Because my parents immediately began to read the foreword.
Mm-hmm.
My father's sisters were active.
That was a matter of deliberate yes. choice, wasn't
yes.
it? You didn't
yes.
just accidentally
no.
read the foreword. You
no,
could have
read
the Tageblatt
or any Jewish
paper,
yes, but
yes.
they preferred the foreword.
They selected the
yes.
foreword. Yes.
They were
uh-huh.
very liberal.
Uh-huh.
While they maintained their orthodoxy,
mm-hmm.
They were very metropolitan.
I see. In fact, the question here says that there were many people who were not religious at that time. How did you and your family feel about irreligious Jews?
I think
did they ever
they
express themselves?
No, I don't think so. I think that my father felt that they each individual had a right to his own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He had many friends who were liberal. He, as a member, as a toby maker, when the trade was organized, he joined the union,
mm-hmm.
and he felt that the union should have been organized
mm-hmm.
for the welfare of the employees.
Mm-hmm. But there was no conflict there.
There was
his
no
religious
conflict,
views.
No. He lived his life
mm-hmm.
as he was brought up.
Yes.
Now, there was a bit of conflict maybe between my parents. I think my mother would have preferred had my father shaved off his beard
mm-hmm.
and become more freer maybe, but... he was brought up that way, and he lived his life,
mm-hmm.
and my mother adjusted to it, and they lived a very happy life together. But there was no objection to what the children were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were aware of that as we grew older, we
But did you change? The children changed
yes.
their religious practices.
Yes, we did. We
uh-huh.
we gradually drew away. We didn't attend as frequently
mm-hmm.
as they would have maybe liked it. Like us
mm-hmm.
to do, but there was never said from either of them that we must go to the synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did they modify their religious practices?
No.
No. They never. Stayed with real
stayed.
Orthodox
yes.
tradition.
They did.
Yes, I see. In your attending the synagogue here from time to time, do you have any particular recollection about it? Favorable or unfavorable?
Oh, we always attended the high
just
holiday.
Just the traditional.
Yes,
I see.
And we observed, and to this day, there's still a closeness to the religion.
Of course, yes.
We have
even if it isn't religious motivation, it's sentimental, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, obviously, when you came to this country, you weren't engaged in work, but you mentioned that your father became a toby maker.
Yeah.
That was one of the fairly common trades in which Jews engaged,
yes.
wasn't it? Was
yes.
it for the reason that you mentioned that they were able to
well, the fact
carry
that
on
for
their
him it was mm-hmm. convenient because he would only have to work the 5 days,
mm-hmm.
and if they needed him for a 6 day, he would work on Sundays, but he would not.
I see. Uh-huh. And those were the days when cigars were made by hand.
Yes,
everything was made by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I remember visiting a cigar. Factory.
In fact, they were.
I didn't hear the word Toby till I came to live in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
They were. He was employed by a distant relative of yours, Mr. Amelo.
Is that so?
Yeah, he had
well,
a factory on Miller Street.
Did you know that Father Friedberg had a cigar factory for a while too? When
no,
his son,
no.
yes, this was one of the areas
yeah,
in which they
right.
were able to work, and
at the
mm-hmm.
time that he came, a sister of his was already working in the field.
I see. Uh-huh.
And she automatically got
mm-hmm.
a job for him.
Did he have to get any special training for this, or was it right on the job training?
I think it was on the job training
uh-huh.
because he had no training for
I
any
see.
Particular job. He
I
was
see.
He was what they would call a well, I wouldn't say a Luftman, but
yes.
I mean,
I know.
It
was not a manual.
No,
worker.
Never. It was
no.
never taught.
Yes,
right.
yes. He was a white collar worker.
Yes, if you want to put it that way.
Have you any recollection of what his earnings would have been?
They were very nominal.
Very. Well, that, of course, went for everybody,
yes.
I suppose.
So nominal that I had to put up quite a battle to get permission to go to 4 years high school. mm-hmm. instead of 2 years of business school and mm-hmm. be ready to go out and
yes.
earn a living.
Oh, I know. I suppose it's almost impossible for us to realize how little they managed to get
yes.
along on.
Yes, we. But we managed. We did the best we could, and mm-hmm. We never felt that we were being deprived of anything.
At what age did you go to work?
Well, I was through high school before I was 18,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to go into work before. But during my high school years, I worked.
At what?
I worked after school mm-hmm. in a dairy store, and I worked on Saturdays in the department stores.
Mm-hmm.
And
clerk.
As a clerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this money helped to
helped
pay
to
you
my
way through school.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then when you graduated from high school, you said you went to work for the Forward.
Yes.
In what capacity?
In the office, as a bookkeeper.
Oh, the office.
As a clerk.
As a clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that from that you developed a skill in handling subscriptions.
Yes. Yes.
And
well,
didn't you also
write
columns?
One of the stipulations was, no. Mm-hmm. Well, we'd write the news
yes.
Later on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the stipulations in going to work for the Forward is that you'd be able to read and write Yiddish.
Yiddish, of course. Uh-huh. Well, that would be... did you belong to a union?
No. No union, yes, no.
None at any time?
No.
Really?
No, there was no...
no organization?
No organization here
uh-huh.
for me to join. There is an office workers union,
mm-hmm.
but being a lone employee,
no,
there
I
was
see.
No,
no that's right.
For it.
The question here says, if you could live this part of your life over again, what kind of work would you go into?
Well, if I could have gone on to school, I think I would have liked to have been a teacher.
A teacher.
But unfortunately, I regret
you
that
couldn't,
I didn't.
You couldn't stay in school long enough to learn to that. But isn't that a typically Jewish aspiration? There was always a very high regard for the teaching profession.
Yes.
There was. Now, here's a question that I suppose won't do for you. It says, when did you first meet the person that you married? So
we'll eliminate that one.
We'll have to eliminate this. We'll have to eliminate all the questions about your marriage.